Good evening.
Good evening.
We are going to go over a lesson that I actually did about, well, it was the night that the snow came. So we didn't get through but about 15% of it, so we're going to go ahead and do that tonight. And let's read our verses come tonight from Mark chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Mark 2, 15 through 17. Now it happened as he was dining in Levi's house that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, "How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, this sermon is not a super long sermon anyway, but it was super short last time. And we're going to think about tonight Jesus and how he was for everybody, wasn't he? He wasn't just for a select few. He cared about everyone. So Jesus had called Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. And Matthew, if you've ever wondered this, Matthew is the Greek name. That's his Greek name. And Levi is his Hebrew name. And Matthew evidently had invited Jesus to have a meal in his house along with many of his friends and his acquaintances. And since Matthew was a tax collector, he would likely have known other tax collectors. And the Pharisees, they considered tax collectors really, really bad people because many of them were. Many of them did cheat, and they embezzled money from the Jewish people. And Matthew also had friends who were not morally acceptable. They were sinners. So these kind of people were coming in too. As if the tax collectors weren't enough, there were also these other types of people. And these people, though, they were listening. They were listening to Jesus. And the Pharisees, they liked power. And they didn't want these other people listening to Jesus. They were the religious powerhouse. They wanted these people to listen to them. And they were more interested in their power and their prestige than they were in getting people to repent and getting people to follow the God, basically. And Jesus, he responds to them that he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So it would make no sense for doctors to be hanging out with healthy people and not going to the sick. And we want to ask a question. Why does Christ receive sinful men? It's just like the song. It's because we, men and women, we need to be received or we cannot get to heaven. Mankind is in a state of not being received. It's because of sin. Sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59:2 tells us this. And all have sinned. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And in regard to our relationship with God, we all need to be received by God. If we're not, we cannot be saved. Now, without Jesus covering our sins, making us acceptable in God's sight, we could not go to heaven. He chose to receive sinful men by taking their sins upon Him on the cross. Because before that, it was animals, wasn't it? They sacrificed animals. It rolled the sins over for a year. This is the way it worked. It could not get rid of the sins. But Jesus' blood, He was the perfect sacrifice. His blood could do so. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, we read, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." God approved Jesus, and He sent Him, His only begotten Son, He sent Him to receive sinful men. That means us, men and women. And there is no other that can do it. No Hindu god. I think they have, 17 million gods. They have a god of everything, like god of the sink, they have everything. None of those are real. None of those can do it. Buddha can't do it. The only one who can do it is Christ. Acts 4:12 says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." So how does Christ receive sinful men? It's by calling the sinner. And that call is made through the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2:14 says, "He called you through our gospel." And then that makes us ask, well, what is Jesus calling the sinner to do? Well, it has something to do with the plan of salvation that we go over at the end of every lesson. So since I'm going to go over this now, we'll be going over it real quick at the end of the lesson. But he calls the sinner to come to him. That's Matthew 11, 28 through 30. He says, "Come unto me." He calls the sinner to hear his word. Mark 9, 7 says, "Hear him." He calls the sinner to obey the word. Hebrews 5, 9 says, "And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." And he calls the sinner to believe in him. John 8, 24 says, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Jesus is the only way, believing in him and doing all the things that the Bible says in order to be saved. We can't leave parts of it out. He calls the sinner to repent of their sins. In Acts 3:19, we read, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." He can refresh us. He can restore us. But he's the only one who can do it. He calls the sinner to confess. Matthew 10:32, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven." If we're embarrassed to confess Christ, if we don't want to tell a certain friend that we confess Christ, we're in trouble. We've got to let that be known. We can't be embarrassed of that. And finally, he calls the sinner to be baptized. We read Acts 2:38 all the time. "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" That's the way we do it. Now, how does this happen? Christ also, he cleanses people, but how does he do this? Well, he cleanses through the Word. You know, when we read the Word, we are being cleansed in a sense because we see things that we're doing wrong. We see things that could be straightened up. We see where we may be erring. And then we can pray about that, which cleanses it. And then we can go on and do better in the future. Ephesians 5:26 says that the water and the Word, by the washing of water with the Word. So we know we need to be baptized. We know that the Word also is a big part of this. We don't get baptized and then say, "Well, that's that. I understand, and I'm not going to read this anymore." Got to keep pushing forward, reading the Word. He cleanses through faith. Acts 15:9 says, "Cleansing their hearts by faith." He cleanses through His blood. Hebrews 9, verses 13 and 14. "For if the blood of bulls and goats," that's what we're just talking about, "and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." The blood of Jesus is so much more powerful than all these things that happened in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is our teacher. You can learn a lot of great things by reading the Old Testament, but you're not going to be saved by following the doctrine of the Old Testament. We must follow the doctrine of the New Testament. And what are the results of Christ receiving sinful men? Well, one result is the sinner is forgiven of sins. Another result is the remission of sins. And we can read about that in Matthew 26, verse 28. "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And another result, Colossians 2, 13, forgiveness of trespasses. So the Bible uses several different ways to put this. But really what this is sin missing the mark and then Christ coming in and taking over if we let Him, if we follow the plan of salvation, and if we pray for repentance. But let's read that verse, Colossians 2:13. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. So this morning we talked about goals, we talked about all these things that we can do, but ultimately what has to happen is we have to be in that right relationship with Christ, because we can do all the wonderful things in the world, but if we're not in the right relationship with Christ, it's all for nothing. Hebrews 10:17 tells us God will no longer remember our sins against us. And when we think about the people who have trespassed against us, can we say that same thing? It's very hard sometimes. We need to always forgive, but it takes us a while. God, when you repent, he will remember that no more. That will no more be held against you. And that's amazing. And finally, the sinner's fellowship is restored to God. God cannot have fellowship with sin. There cannot be sin in heaven. In fact, we know that God did not create any sin, anything wrong, but he created beings that could choose right or wrong. Angels, they chose right or wrong. Otherwise, they'd be what we would refer to today as robots, right? They wouldn't be able to love because they would just walk around always choosing the right thing. But God wants them to choose him. And so, because of that, we need this fellowship. We need to choose God. We can choose to reject him, but we need to choose to follow him. And let's read Romans 6, verses 17 and 18. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Now we read that means a choice has been made. You can either choose to be a slave of sin or choose to be a slave of righteousness. And we can't imagine telling something like a blender, you know, you made a great choice blending that up. That's an amazing choice that you made. I'm glad you chose to blend that cabbage up. No, because it's a machine. It does what it's supposed to do. God could have made us like that. He could have made us all something that you push a button on and they do that. But that's not love. Love is when somebody chooses you. That's why people generally, I don't know what the future holds, but they don't marry robots, all right? You want to marry somebody who says, I do. I could not, but I choose to marry you. And that makes love. So, we must choose God. And then you're going to be reconciled to God. And that word reconciled, if you've ever wondered what that means, it's a change from a state of being against God, a state of fragmentation, departed from God, to one of harmony and fellowship. And that's what we want. Romans 5 verse 10 says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Then the sinful person has fellowship with God. And fellowship means unity. Working together, participating in the Lord's work together. 1 John 1:3 says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And the sinful man is then made a saint. 1 Corinthians 1:2 says, those who are sanctified by Christ are called to be saints. Those set apart, sanctified. That's what we want. That's what we are. We're the saints. When we follow that plan of salvation and we're striving, we are the saints. 1 John 1, verses 7 through 9 says that there is a continual cleansing for that person. As long as we remain faithful, as long as we repent when we sin, we are cleansed continually. And that's why we can have confidence that we're saved. I think Woody was talking about this. We can have that confidence because when we're in that relationship, we're being constantly cleansed. And the Bible tells us how to be in that relationship. Now, why does God receive sinful men? Well, that's a good question, because a lot of times we shake the dust from our feet, don't we? If somebody is continually rebellious, we shake the dust from our feet. But God doesn't do that. God really gives everyone a chance over and over and over. And Jesus is there for everyone on this earth. Until they pass through that veil, go to the other side, they all have a chance. Now, sinful men are received by the calling of the sinner through the Word, by the cleansing of the sinner through following the plan of salvation, and by baptism, the remission of sins. And what's the ultimate result? It's forgiveness of sins, it's fellowship with God, and ultimately it's sainthood, and that will continue on to eternity if we're in that right relationship. If you're in need of restoring your relationship tonight, or if you have need of baptism, this is the time to do it. You don't want to wait. We never know when we're not going to wake up the next day. So please make sure you come forward now if you have any need as together we stand and sing.